Welcome you all to my presentation. I'm talking about the summer dormancy in tall fescue. As you know, tall fescue is a major crop throughout the temperate regions of the world. There are about 14 million hectares of tall fescue cultivation in the continental USA. It is a cool season perennial, so once it is established, it should sustain for several years. I think you all know about the unprecedented historic heat and drought that prevails throughout the south central USA. And this is not the only year we observe this kind of weather. We observe the hot and dry summer almost quite frequently in this region. So thus, though tall fescue is a perennial, we saw 40 to 60% stand loss within a year. So persistence is becoming a major problem for growing tall fescue in south central USA. So we can improve the persistence of tall fescue in two different ways, either introducing drought tolerance or summer dormancy. So in my program, we are working on both ways, but today, I'll mainly restrict my presentation on the summer dormancy. If we classify the tall fescue cultivars, we can see three different classifications: complete dormant, semi-dormant, and summer active. As Darius also mentioned in his presentation, these three kinds of fescue we can get. Out of those, like the complete dormant and semi-dormant are belongs to mainly the Mediterranean morphotypes, and the summer active belongs to continental morphotypes. These are very distinct morphotypes with both morphological differences, and also we find that there is nuclear genome and also the chloroplast genome differences between these two morphotypes. So with molecular marker, we can easily distinguish these two kind of morphotypes. The first objective of my program is to understand what causes summer dormancy. That is the thing we mostly unknown. So we started with one genotype, one from summer actives, then strongly summer dormant and moderately summer dormant. We grew all these plants in greenhouse small pots, and then put all three pots in a bigger pot so that all the three genotypes can grow under the same environment. We also we put like two different day lengths, that is the short day and long day, and also two different temperatures, that is the high temperature and optimum temperature. We also evaluated two levels of moisture, that is well watered and water stressed, and two levels of vernalization, that is vernalized or non-vernalized plants. And we consider four different growth chambers. Each growth chamber has a distinct settings for day length and temperature. As you see, the growth chamber one is for long day, high temperature. Growth chamber two for short day, high temperature. Growth chamber three for long day, optimum temperature. And growth chamber four for short day, optimum temperature. And within each chamber, we like the well-watered and the water stress or vernalized and non-vernalized plants are well distributed. So we consider the short day and optimum temperature as the favorable growing condition for tall fescue that mimics to the fall growth of tall fescue. So under this stress, when we under these conditions, we evaluated the tall fescue plants under well water or without water condition, we saw a clear difference in growth. But all the three genotypes under this situation stressed equally. So that indicates that it may be not be the water is the limiting factor for inducing dormancy. So when we put this all these parts under well water under water stress condition under long day, so we see severe drought stress in all the three genotypes. When we put top water, after that we saw that the summer active types start regrowing, the moderately dormant has little bit of regrowth, But the summer dormant type still remains summer dormant. So it indicates that water is not the critical factor for inducing summer dormancy. Then we put this like both the active and the dormant genotypes evaluated under long day condition. And here you can see both under short day and long day condition, the summer active plants grow equally. But under short day condition, the dormant plants grow pretty good, but the under long day condition, it remains dormant. So it indicates that day length is a critical factor for inducing dormancy. So not only for growth, we also evaluated many other different traits like the number of tillers, leaf elongation, fresh weight, dry weight, all indicated that day length is a critical factor for inducing dormancy. Once we know the critical factor for the dormancy, we try to get answer of our second question, what are the genetic loci associated with summer dormancy? To get the answer of this one, we started to develop a mapping population by crossing the summer dormant and summer active genotype. So we collected plants from the field which are completely dormant and take it to the greenhouse and allowed it to grow in the in greenhouse condition. The plant which have the best regrowth, we take it as a summer dormant parent, and also we selected a summer active parent and make crosses between these two. Whoever has some experience on this, working on these plants, you know that there is a big problem for making crosses between those two distinct morphotypes. So we planted a lot of different ramets to get enough seed to develop a new population. And finally, we are able to develop a new population called NFTS-06, which is segregating for summer dormancy. First, we evaluated this population under growth chamber condition. And you can see under long day, so you can see the clear difference between the growth of the summer dormant parent and the summer active parent. Summer dormant parents remains mostly dormant, but the summer active parents become summer active parents grow pretty good. And we saw a transgressive segregation in the population for the dry weight and fresh weight. So this indicates that under long day condition, we can get a good separation of the summer dormant material from the summer active material. We also planted this whole population under two different environments in the field location in Ardmore, and then evaluate for many different traits for several years. So we saw clear segregation of this population for senescence, but this is not a typical symptom we can get every year. Only you can get this senescence symptom if the weather condition is pretty harsh. So here is the population is segregating, like completely dormant to completely active, and we can see also in between. Thus indicated that it should be a quantitative trait. We also check for other traits like the plant height. You can see when during the May, when there is day length is not that long, it's shorter, and the temperature is also cooler, the summer dormant parent grows better than the summer active parent, and we see the segregation in the population. But when in July, August, when day length is pretty long and the temperature is high, then the summer active parent grows better than the summer dormant parent. Again, when September, the day length getting shorter and the temperature is cooler, the summer dormant parent like jumps into growth and the surpasses the growth of summer active parent. And it continues. We also started to develop a genetic linkage map of this population. So in my program, we developed the SSR markers and STS markers, And in Australia, they developed a dirt marker system for turf rescue. So we sent the whole population to Australia to put the dirt marker. And this particular project, in collaboration with University of Missouri, we are able to complete the mapping of this population. But in the Missouri, they mainly looked this population for winter survival and winter growth. But our interest is mainly on the summer dormant. So once we have the phenotype from the field and the genetic map, we start to identify the genetic loci associated with summer dormancy. And here is just an example to see how the genetic map can resolve this problem to identify the genetic loci associated with the traits associated with summer dormancy. So in summary, I like to tell that we identified the key factor associated with summer dormancy. In a segregating population, we also see the importance of long days for inducing the summer dormancy. And then we are in the process to identify the genomic loci associated with summer dormancy. With this, before concluding, I'd like to gratefully acknowledge the members of my group and my collaborators within the foundation and outside the foundation. And with this, thank you from Nobel Foundation. Yeah. Actually, there are two important things in the summer dormancy. One is the induction of the summer dormancy and the breaking of the summer dormancy. So we mainly work what causes the summer dormancy. So we didn't look at the breaking of the summer dormancy part yet. So, but like what we identified mainly what causes the summer dormancy, and day length is the critical for that one. But we don't know yet what is the critical factor for breaking the dormancy.